Hey guys, Ronnie here. This is a two-part recap of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. This is part one. Part two will be right up. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap that we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs, which is a channel on the television. Ding! I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Great. Good to see you, my little friend.
Good to see you, too.
Going okay over there?
Everything is going great. I am going to do, I just want to do one bit of personal shilling for my Substack. I mentioned earlier this week, I put up my chocolate cheesecake recipe. So it's a recipe that I love. So if anyone wants to know this chocolate cheesecake recipe, go to nbdfancy.substack.com. I'm just blatantly shilling my Substack. So go check that out.
Why shouldn't you? Go to well, it. I'm a member of it. I love it.
You know, I don't want to be obnoxious like that, but I love this chocolate cheesecake, and I made it when I had COVID last week, and it brought me so much joy. So, you know, if you guys are looking for a good chocolate cheesecake recipe, that's simple and easy.
There it is.
Go check it out.
Yeah, do it, everybody. NBD fancy. So, this is a Salt Lake City episode, but first, guess what? We are on video, as usual. Get those videos on Patreon on demand, which is our video channel on Patreon. Okay. We're also on YouTube. These come out a week later on YouTube. If you don't want to pay for them, we don't want to make these only available to people who are paying. So you can watch them on YouTube as well. We're also on Instagram. Both our personals. You'll see all of Ben's NBD posts. You'll see my Nancy posts, who is a terrible cook, not like Ben. And just a bunch of other silly videos that I make on my Instagram and TikTok. Go find those. And also all our Watch What Crappens stuff on Watch What Crappens Instagram. Okay? There's a lot of stuff to follow. Also, be a member on Patreon, because that's also where you get bonus episodes. Those are always super fun. And every Monday night, not every Monday night, but every other Monday night, first and third Monday of the month, we are doing an Instagram live show. It'll eventually be a show that we post audio of and stuff like once we get our shit together. That
like could take us years.
Right now we're in workshop mode.
We're in workshop. So. We're like Hamilton in 2010.
We're in like Chicago tryouts mode. So but we're doing that right now, and that's really fun. It's been a disaster a few times because we're trying to figure out professional sound and recording and all of that. So we're trying different formats, different ways to do it. It is always fun. No matter what a disaster it is, it's always fun. So that's going to be this next Monday. What would that be? The 18th, Ben? So join us then.
Yeah.
And that's at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Now today, who cares about any of that? Because today we're here for the very special Trixie...
Monoclackle?
No, it's a real Trixie. The actual
Trixie. Oh, Trixie Mattel.
Trixie Mattel.
A real Trixie.
The real Trixie. Trixie Mattel from Drag Race is on Salt Lake City today.
Yes, Holler. The first Trixie. Woo. And I've heard of Trixie Mattel before, obviously, because Trixie Mattel has become really famous. But I haven't actually seen her in action, and she cracked me up. She was hilarious. And just like the two, like, she wasn't on very long, but I loved the way she was just kind of like laughing in Whitney and Angie's face. I was like, okay, I see why Trixie Mattel is very famous.
Yeah. Could you talk about something for a second? I need a minute.
Yes. Sorry. I am going to talk about something. What I'm going to talk about is the fact that this episode was so good. When we sat down to do the notes, I saw it was supersized. I always groan when I see it's a supersized episode because it just means more time taking notes, and that always bums me out because, you know, if it's a viewer, supersized is great, but as taking notes, I'm like. But this episode was so good that the supersizedness of it just flew by. So far in two episodes, this show is just working at such a high level, and Mia has been a gift that keeps on giving. Every Mia scene, I had a moment where I laughed out loud. Now, Ronnie is doing great work here with this visual. This is why you need to be watching Crappens on Demand, because Ronnie has come through with some Angie Hay glasses. Wow, yes. Ronnie. Where did you get these?
I wish they were actually pink lenses. These are pink. They're mirrored, so I need to make sure there's nothing horrible on my screen right now. But these pink sunglasses are my Palm Spring sunglasses, because where else can you get these? But love this whole episode because I got to show off my sunglasses.
It's perfect. Your sunglasses look amazing.
These are the best kind of sunglasses to wear. Everybody loves you when you wear mirrored sunglasses because all they see is themselves. There's no better way to get attention than wearing mirrors on your face. Okay, yeah. Especially in California. So let's go to this episode. So we get our taglines for the season, and the first one's the best one. There, I said it. I'm not even going to wait for you to judge. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, I can't. Okay, I found. I was lost in my notes because I was on Below Deck notes by accident. Oh yeah. Okay. You want me to start, or you want to start it? It's your favorite one. You should start it. You should do it because you like this.
I'm on a mission to serve Lisa, and I love that for myself.
And then, by the way, in classic Lisa Barlow, every single season, Lisa Barlow does not know how to deliver her line. She always rushes through too fast. She goes, I'm on a mission to Lisa, and I love that for myself. Then Heather's like, I own a beauty empire, so I don't need any of your lip service.
I kind of like that. I think that's good. Pretty cute. What else you don't need? Any of your own lip service. There's been enough lip service. There's my tagline. No more lip service. Okay, let's all calm down. Okay, can't go fill your car up every day. You're going to get gas all over the ground. And the rest of us are going to step in it. Okay, be careful with yourselves. So then we get Monica, and she's like, I keep my friends close, but my secrets closer. It's like, you do not keep your secrets closer. You are the M. Night Shyamalan of housewives. I've never seen a housewife with more twists and turns than this lady.
I know. I
mean, she is literally the sixth sense in human form.
I see dread people. But also, like, her storyline this episode, she revealed that she actually did not keep a secret. So then we have Meredith. In a town full of dirty lies, everyone could use a bath. Which falls into the category of taglines that are a bit of a stretch.
Meredith just decided that the bath was going to be her thing forever because she took a bath that one time. I mean, what the hell?
I was hoping hers would be something like, I've been to many places and I've made a lot of bean salads. No. Bean salad, done that. Bean.
It takes a village to cut a lemon.
You can go. Well, if she just did that, but what if that was just her tagline?
Meredith is doing this thing where she's completely changing her voice this year. I'm not sure if she doesn't like how it's made fun of on the internet or what she's doing, but she's trying to reinvent her voice, and she's really showing off her new one in this episode, and we'll get to it. But it's like this, like, oh, I'm really happy girl. It's like this happy weird girl. Lilt that she's doing, and I'm cracking up at it. Also, this whole bath thing, like, congrats, you took a bath. I dated a guy that one time. I was just always getting on it. It's like, take a fucking bath, dude. Like, have some respect. He takes a bath and he wants a gold medal, you know? It's like, that's a normal thing to do, to take a bath.
Yeah.
You know? It is. So anyway, then is Angie, who is, it's going to be trouble to differentiate this voice from Lisa this year because they are very similar. They do both have this kind of thing, but Angie speaks in staccato.
Yes.
She also doesn't ever know her lines. She's always trying to remember her lines, and she speaks in questions that are in staccato to herself. And this is her line. I may be Greek, but don't expect an olive branch from me.
I may be Greek, but don't expect an Acropolis from me. Can we workshop that? That felt
don't
a little forced.
Don't expect a Zorba from me. Okay, did that work? Does anybody else know the musical Zorba? I love that one.
I may be Greek, but my yogurt is runny. Does that...
I may be Greek, but don't call my yogurt Japani.
I may be Greek, but I have a phyllo dole on all of you.
so stupid.
I'm just still workshopping. It's like, okay, Angie, just say don't expect an olive branch from me. Okay.
Oh. And then you do Whitney.
Having faith in myself is, wait, can I go from this to having faith in myself is the only religion that I, what's the rest, need.
Now we go to Happy House, and I don't know. Oh, no, it's Happy no. Haas is what I wrote, because the song is
very
like,
happy.
Ha, ha. Dun 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 ha, dun 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 ha, dun 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 ha, dun 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 ha, dun 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 ha, dun 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 ha, dun ha. So now we're at the Jordan River Trail, very biblical.
It is.
I think a king was sent as a baby down that river by King James, maybe. King.
And Larsa Pippen tried to date its son. She was confused.
She's marrying his son, actually.
That's true.
She's marrying the river's son.
So Meredith gets out. And
there's nothing bigger like than rivers like. Like, maybe like if I dated like Lake Sun, that would be better. But like, I'm dating River Sun, so.
I didn't realize the River Jordan, like, I didn't know the River Jordan Sun when I was like, my ex-husband was like, when Lake Pippen was like working with like River Jordan. So, Meredith is arriving in, she has metallic blue pants on and like a Monsters, Inc. jacket, as usual. But then Lisa Barlow shows up and she's like, hi, I'm Lisa Barlow and I'm wearing a jacket that represents Andy's Mints right now. She really looks like she's wearing wrappers for Andy's Mints.
Meredith was my favorite because she's wearing like Michael Jackson pants, but in like really bright, shiny tinfoil blue. And I recognize the pants. I couldn't remember where I've seen the pants. And it's from my Sackboy character on the Sony PlayStation.
Wow.
Because you can put yourself in different outfits. Wow. And I own those pants in computer form. And they're as hilarious on both people, I have to say. My Sack form figure and Meredith Marks. They both work. Also, my Sackboy figure loves a bath. Weird.
Wow.
So Lisa Parkson meets her, and she's brought, Lisa's like, oh my God, you brought drinks. And this is where Meredith tries out her new baby voice. She's like, I brought you a little drink. I think I can walk in there. I was like, what are you even saying? Your head's about to bobble off your damn body, woman. What's going on with you?
Meredith and I have not, in 2 years, had one productive conversation at all. So then they are having just small talk about the kids. They're acting like they've never even heard of each other's kids. And Meredith's like, so you've got 5 kids, right? She's like, no, I have like Jack and Henry, and also Sharon, right? There's no Sharon. Oh, okay. And Jack, he's about 3 years old. He's 18. Oh, okay. Got it.
Jack's about to like graduate. It's really weird. Oh, well, I'm also got a child graduating, which you may have heard of. Oh my God, Flowey. No, that's not who it is. Yeah, the one from the insurance commercials. Oh my God, that lady has had a job literally forever. She's only in high school.
No, Chloe. Oh, we call her NB, not Brooks. Yeah, well, she's graduating from someplace, and she's really, really excited about it.
You know what? I mean, I'm walking this path with Meredith, and I see all these hazard signs everywhere. And sure enough, they show Lisa and Meredith walking past hazard sign after hazard sign.
They are taking a stroll around electric transformers. They're like, well, I thought we could meet and have a reconciliation around a power plant, if that was of interest to you.
Let's see. She's like, Meredith tells us, well, I'm a little ambivalent about seeing Lisa right now because I know I want a fresh start with Lisa, but I don't want anything that happens today to damage my ability to make that fresh start. I guess I have to see her in order to start that process.
And I want a fresh start, which is why I dressed up like a dinner mint. So Meredith is like, so, well, how is, what's his name? Frack? Jack! Jack, so how's his college search going? Is he still interested in majoring in fudge? And Lisa's like, actually, Jack is deferring. She's like, oh, deferring? Yeah, he's going to serve a mission for our church. Oh, okay, a mission. And so he's going to go into muffler sales. Not emissions. Missions.
So he's going to serve a mission? Is he going to be a mesero at a Mexican restaurant? I mean, that's a kind of tortilla, am I right?
No, not that kind of mission.
He's in tire sales? Oh, sorry. No, that's Michelin. And I don't know why I'm messing up my own words.
I thought that missions were impossible. Okay, now you're just doing Tom Cruise movies. This isn't helping. Okay, his mission could be in Idaho or South California. I mean, they pick. You know, his friend went to a reveal. That's where you go and they announce what your gender is. what your gender is going to be on your mission.
That's where they reveal the gender of the city that you're going to. So one friend is going to Switzerland, another to Milan, and
another,
you know,
one is like going to a non-binary city. So we're not really sure how that works, but we support it.
Another city literally caught the entire town on fire during the reveal. And then his other friend during that mission reveal, a plane crashed. It was terrible.
Oh, my gosh. So she's like, yeah, one of his friends got called to Milan. And I'm like, oh, my God, that would be amazing. And Jack's like, Mom, it's not a shopping trip. Yeah, it's a fucking selling trip, okay? He's going to be out there hustling the Lord to everybody. And I love the idea of Jack knocking on doors in Milan like, hi. Have you ever heard of the Lord? And them just being like, oh my God, who did your hair? This is embarrassing.
I know. Embarrassing. The city of fashion, and you're trying to win people over in your like dollar store, like short sleeve shirt buttoned down with your tie.
And your swoop forward hair.
And the swoop forward, the hair swoop can't. So
Meredith goes, well, maybe it's not a shopping trip for him, but for you, maybe. And I just wrote, what the fuck is this Meredith baby voice? What is this? It's like if they decided to make a cartoon about Meredith, but instead of calling it Meredith, they called it Meredith Babies. Like Muppet Babies.
And she has a nanny that you only see the socks of.
She's like a tiny little bathtub.
Everyone be quiet and stop fantasizing about what you look like in stock footage, because a large lady with striped socks is walking in, and there was never any discussion, Nanny, one way or another, of whether you were allowed in this room right now.
Well, anyway, I wanted to have a chat one-on-one, because over the last few years, we've had trouble, big trouble, right here in River City, there's a part of the I to the V to the E to the R.
Wait a minute. Are you doing Mission Man right now?
No, we're off of that now. It's Music Man, Lisa. Jesus Christ.
So we see a wonderful montage of them fighting, which is really excellent. There's just so many great highlights. But it was I always enjoy the forgotten highlights, because we always know the big ones, but the forgotten ones. So for me, this was Lisa wrapped up in like a blanket saying, I always thought I was a safe space for you, Meredith. I forget what Meredith said back. I just love Lisa wrapped up doing her falsetto to try to win her back over.
You're a failed airbag, Lisa, as a friend. So Lisa's like, it's been very dark and I don't like the way that feels. I don't like to go backwards. And Craig from Southern Charm is like, me neither. That's why I won't ever take a shot.
I won't do a vaccine. Meredith does the thing where she's like, all right, let's like be friends. So let's gloss over everything. Well, we've had this very long friendship, and I think we both made mistakes. Some were much worse than others. Some were much more damaging than others. And some came from a stupider person than the other person. But I think we both have regret, and I think we both are sorry for things that we have done and said and whatever personal attacks we may or may not have made against poor innocent toddlers.
at the end of the day, you've hurt me deeply, but you have never said anything terrible about my bathtub, so I've reconsidered our friendship. And Lisa tells us, listen, I grew up in New York, okay? So I'm not a very trusting person.
So somebody sent us a message, like they DM'd us, and they said, I love that Lisa, how have you not called out that Lisa keeps saying she grew up in New York, but she grew up in Schenectady? And then they show her prom picture or her high school yearbook picture. That is New York, but it's not the same. Like, Lisa is like, I'm a tough girl. I grew up in New York City.
Well, she said, I love culture because I grew up in, I thought she grew up in Long Island. But either way, if she's really from Schenectady, that's hilarious.
I know. We should fact check that, right? I shouldn't just say things that I've
I used to go to the Saratoga Spa. You know, the first time, the first concert I ever went to, I saw a triple bill.
DeLanson. Sorry, go
DeLanson.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Dana DeLanson. The first concert I went to was up in Saratoga Springs, New York. They have a place called SPAC, the like Saratoga Performing Arts Center, and it was a triple bill: Cracker, Gin Blossoms, and Spin Doctors. And I went as part of a camp trip, so I feel very connected to Lisa because you know what? She did grow up around a lot of culture. She was around a lot of culture, like the Gin Blossoms.
Last time, I've been around yogurt while it's being made, so I know culture.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, listeners, you need to know that Wondery's shocking true crime podcast Over My Dead Body is back for a fourth season, Gone Hunting. This newest season covers the story of Mike Williams. It was Mike's sixth wedding anniversary when he set off on a hunting trip into the gator-infested swamps of North Florida. He figured he'd be back in time to take his wife Denise out to celebrate, but he never came back. Friends and loved ones feared he met his fate through bad luck and a group of hungry alligators, leaving his young family behind. Except that's not what happened at all. And after 17 years, a kidnapping, and the uncovering of a secret love triangle, the truth would finally be revealed. Enjoy Over My Dead Body, Gone Hunting on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Over My Dead Body early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at Wondery.com/plus. I want you to picture Steve Jobs tinkering with a computer in his garage. Walt Disney drawing cartoons for his high school newspaper. Every big moment starts with a big dream, but what happens when that dream turns out to be an even bigger failure? Each week on Wondery's new podcast, The Big Flop, host Misha Brown is joined by different comedians to chronicle some of the biggest failures and blunders in pop culture history. Each episode will have you thinking, why in the world did this get made? From box office flops like Cats the Movie to Action Park, New Jersey's infamous theme park that had countless injuries, many lawsuits, and rides so wild it became known as Class Action Park, or Quibi, that short-form video platform with an even shorter lifespan. It's a story of a spectacular failure with lots of surprises along the way. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at Wondery.com/plus.
And anyway, Lisa goes on, I'm not a very trusting person.
If I could list all the people I trust, it would be anyone who's signed an NDA, my husband, our lawyers, because they're bound by law, Taco Crunchwrap Supreme, because really, what has it ever done to me? Except be delicious. Kit Kat bars. People who oversee trusts, because that's literally their job. So I trust people. Dark Oaks, because they're on diets, and I trust dietetic people. But you know what? With Meredith, I think I'm going to make an exception because we have a lot of years behind us. And I'm going to put my blinders on. I'm like in a thoroughbred race. Yeah, I'm going to like try to not see to the sides of me.
Don't you love when people say that? You know what I'd like? You know how I'm going to go forward in life? I'm just going to put blinders on and really eliminate my periphery vision. And that should probably work out well.
It works. So, I mean, it's a good plan. I'm not gonna diss the plan.
Yeah. So Lisa's like, I'm very sorry about my hot mic moment. And like, I know my words hurt. And like, that made me feel horrible. And I don't want to hurt you or your family ever, even if you are the biggest slut New York City's ever seen. And Meredith is like, well, I'm sorry that I made a reference to wildly verified rumors about you and tickets for the Jazz and blowjobs and such. And I should have just left it alone the way you were left alone after that moment with the owner of the tickets at the Jazz.
Listen, I'm sorry, but I contributed to an entire movement called Jizz for Jazz. I apologize, but there is room for growth, and I miss our families being together. After all, little Brooksy does need playmates.
And then we see clips of them being happy together, and the best is the diamond mask. I mean, I will never, that's like one of Meredith's defining moments, is showing up at the beauty lab opening with that diamond mask on.
I know. That was amazing. So they just are going to go forward and hope for the best. They hug, and they're basically like, and that storyline is over. So now we go to some hot springs, and Heather arrives in all pink, and Whitney shows up, and Whitney's like, is this a water park? I'm like, yes, it has invisible slides. Look at all those invisible slides everywhere.
Whitney. Is this a water park? It's called Crystal Hot Springs, Whitney.
There's not a slide in sight.
Yeah, Heather comes, and she's like, oh, my God, I love this place. I have a friend meeting me here. And Whitney shows up in her fuzzy shoes, and she's like, why are we in a water park in the winter? And don't you have a hot tub that you're constantly in the winter? Why is Whitney like, isn't that your storyline?
Yeah, but, like, a tub can be hot, but, like, a spring... How is a spring hot? Because it's like something that's in a mattress, right? It's a hot mattress.
Yeah, I'm hot confused. Mattresses aren't good unless they've got chocolate in them.
So Heather's like, yeah, it's right up our alley, Whit. Don't worry. And Whitney tells us,
it's been a very long time since Heather and I have spent alone time together. It's a little like ... maybe... relearning to ride a bike again? Like, maybe it's a little bit wobbly?
You don't know how to ride a bike? Does Whitney know how to ride a bike? I need a fact check.
No, I think Whitney on a bike would be chaotic. So she says, last time we went to a hot spring, she didn't have my back when Jen threatened to drown me. But never say never. Jen's gone, and we see the clip again of Jen being like, oh my God, shut the fuck up, Whitney, I'm going to drown you. And I love that Whitney, to this day, for now 4 seasons, has taken that so literally.
I was almost murdered. Murdered I almost on camera.
Died. I almost died. In Taylor Sheridan's new show, Whisper, I almost died. Jen Shaw also, though, just so you don't forget, also threatened to drown Whitney another time and throw her in the lake behind her house, in the pond behind her house.
But, like, I think Whitney watches The Honeymooners, and when the guy's like, I'm going to, like, knock you to the moon or something like that, she was almost the first woman in space.
Why did everybody try to stop Alice Kravitz? What's her name? Cramden? Why did everybody stop trying to make Alice Cramden go to the moon?
Ralph almost beat her up so badly she wound up on a different planet.
Oh my gosh. So Whitney's like, so this water is interesting. It's not the same as bathtub on a hill water. And Heather's like, taste that. She goes, no, gross. And Heather's like, I got some in my mouth accidentally, and it tastes like butter popcorn.
And Whitney's like, what? Is that butter in the shape of popcorn? No, it was just a reference. And, you know, jelly beans can be buttered popcorn too. And, like, I think that, like, she sees that this is all blowing Whitney's mind. What? Jelly beans? Is that, like, what Meredith makes with her family? No.
Do you put them on peanut butter or do you put them on tortillas? Like, no.
There's so much I have to explain to you in this very simple moment.
Heather's like, I'm really trying here.
When he's like, so, how did you feel about your event with the balls of snow? Because I was shocked, I tell you, to see Mary. When did you become friends with Mary again?
Well, you know, I only invited you and Lisa and Meredith, and everyone invited friends.
And she, well, I was surprised. I guess I don't care about a follow-up to my first question. I was surprised to see Angie K there. Do you mind me asking why not Angie? I don't understand. She has a list.
She loves lists. And Heather's like, well, we've never been close and we've never had a long-term relationship. And she tells us, yeah, well, I've known Angie truthfully since Mr. Carter's math class in the 10th grade. And let's see some pictures. And we see pictures of them. Angie has just a cone head of hair. It's shaped, it's kind of like Angie. Marge Simpson shaped on the top and then comes flowing down.
Angie, apparently Angie in 10th grade looked like Josh Altman. It was a totally different person. Josh Altman with a perm.
Oh, so my God. Wait, are and the so, Altmans the brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
So Heather says, wow. Heather says she had what I thought was naturally curly hair, and it turns out it was a perm. So yeah, I have trust issues.
I don't think either one of you is being honest with anything about your looks now if you're comparing that to the 10th grade. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Okay. And why should you? So we get a, there's a lot of that this episode. The guy on the drums had a great episode with this.
He did.
So I can't believe you learned math from Mr. Carter. Jay-Z was your math teacher? That's crazy.
So Heather's like, I mean, it just gave me a bad taste in my mouth. Watching her dive headfirst into that friendship with Jen. Maybe it's because you thought popcorn was butter.
She was like regular spring water. There's no extra sense of butter popcorn
it's
in it.
Turn of phrase, Whitney, okay? So, and then she tells us, we weren't very close in high school. We had just very two distinct different friend groups. I had the Mormons. She had the Greeks. And we shared some best friends, I guess. And I'd love that they're like separate groups of the Mormons and the Greeks. It's like the new West Side story. Yeah, we need this. I need a Greek West Side story. Fuck yes.
Angie was probably very excited.
Give me some snapping PETA fighting motherfuckers in a musical. I need that shit right away.
Angie was probably very excited when she's like, oh my God, there's a movie out that really describes my high school experience. Let me put it in. It's called Grease. Wait a second.
Where are the Greeks? The Greek ladies.
Wait a second. No one's throwing plates. I don't get why they appropriated my culture like this for this musical.
So Heather's like, yeah, well, she flip-flopped immediately, and now she's diving headfirst in this relationship with Lisa, and it just feels very muddy and very messy to me. And she tells us, I do remember when she won Best Sense of Humor. You know, I always feel bad for the girls who peaked in high school.
Well, love the I bitchiness like
here, but you know that you hate her because she won Best Sense of Humor in high school.
Yes.
You know that you do. We all know that you do. Don't really blame you, but let's not try and pretend it's something else.
Yeah, the Heather and Angie feud is funny to me because it feels like it's just like they were told to feud this season and they're just kind of trying to find backstory to like make it make sense. And I'm like, it doesn't totally, but I'm okay with it. I do like that they went to they had math class together. So I like that they've known each other for years. And then when
you Whitney's know, an old school, you know, an old school self-hating gay, like homophobic, homosexual kind of relationships. There was like this dynamic of like, if you're in the closet or self-hating in any way, and then you do hook up with another guy, you have like kind of a mutual hatred of each other after, because it's like you both engaged in that sin or whatever together. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's heard of it. I was raised very religious, so I'm very familiar with that feeling in my youth. My point is not to make it about my youth and how horrible it was.
Point but, is Ronnie had a perm.
Yeah, I had a perm. My point is that they have Jen in common, and I think that they've both got that like shameful sin in common, that they both were kind of on this show because they were friends with Jen, or that was their main plot line on this show, and they both kind of stood by Jen through way too much, and then they realized how shameful it was to do that, and now they hate each other for it. And they never hated Jen for any amount of shit that Jen actually did. They probably still would be friends with Jen again if she came back.
I have a theory that, you know, they were both sidekicks to Jen in certain ways, and they were kind of like dueling sidekicks, and they always had to play nice.
Here we come,
because,
circling back to the sidekick.
Listen, because they had to play nice because Jen was their master. Now Jen's gone, and now they can finally be angry at each other because they both were vying for Jen's attention.
Yes. All that so time. Now there's
And I think it could live with your theory together.
I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. I don't even know where mine came from. It just popped.
I liked
my head.
It.
And you
it
don't have
fun.
To say everything that you say. Okay. You don't have to say everything that's in your head is what I meant. Okay, so Whitney's like, "But I like her. I have fun with her. She's a fun friend for me. She's Greek."
You know that expression? It's all Greek to me. It's like literally all Greek to me. She's all Greek.
And she's like, "Well, I think that she's fun until she's not fun. But I kind of was eavesdropping and I heard Angie asking Lisa about Jack's message?
Mission.
Mission. And so then we see a clip of Lisa telling Whitney and some other people like, "So, you know, Jack, like he's not gonna go to college right away. He's gonna go on a mission." And then it cuts to Heather, who's like hiding behind an old ice sculpture watching and like wiping her mouth evilly as she watches.
Okay. Yeah. And so Heather's like, "I just would be curious to know what this motivation was. You know, for me, I literally, you know, I went on my mission because my friend Diane was at some point in her life and she was graduating from college. She didn't have a perm and neither of us had boyfriends. And she's like, 'I'll go if you go.' And I was like, 'I'll do anything Diane says.' So we went, and next thing we know, me and Diane, you know, this is the story of Heather and Diane. And we were in the temple making death oaths with Diane. And we were wearing garments for the rest of our lives till death do Diane and I part."
And here's my proof of it. Here's a picture of us both in matching white bicycle helmets. Even indoors, we'd wear those. And for no
Diane's
reason,
idea.
Yeah, Diane was just like, "We're never getting laid. So if you want to go on mission, I'll go on mission." And so we did. We were wearing long underwear and bicycle helmets together for years. That's just how it works. And Whitney's like, "But wait a minute. When you say death oats, does that mean the cereal's gone bad and you shouldn't eat it after the expiration?"
No, Whitney. Death oaths. Death oaths.
Oh, can I have a sound effect to help explain what that means? Ding! And then it pops up on screen. Death oath. A vow to keep the church's ceremony secret under penalty of death.
Who's going to kill? Who from the Mormon church? Like, is that illegal? Is that legal? Like,
no,
I'm sorry.
No, it's not legal, but you're not. Who's going to know? You're not allowed to say it, and you'll fucking die if you do. And I've watched enough Mormon shows in the past few years because they're shoving them down my throat that I believe it. I believe it. That murder show last year with Andrew Garfield on Hulu about, God, that was something.
Like In the Arms of the Angel or whatever it was called. Or In the Gates of Heaven or something.
Girl, I don't know. There's so many
death
of
death oath.
Just in my mind, they're all like, "Long underwear, the mystery." And I'm like, I'm in. So
long underwear and death oaths.
Heather's
if you ever, it's just Heather DeBrow. It's just Heather DeBrow in like a hat saying, "If you ever tell the secrets of this church, this will cost you a lot."
Heather DeBrow in a bonnet and long underwear.
It's a Heather DeBrow.
If you ever.
If you ever let Diane tell the secrets of this church, this will cost Diane a lot.
And not just a bicycle helmet. So, there's like, you know, death oath. And she like does a slit across her throat. And Whitney's like, "Oh, yeah." Like, oh, she needed that. She needed the actual visual of her throat being
now
slit for her
now
memory
I
to
get
kick
it.
In.
Death oath, yeah.
So Heather's like, "You know, Lisa Barlow loves to say she's Mormon, but I don't see a lot of Mormon coming off Lisa Barlow. The Mormons I know all wear their garments, go to temple, pay their tithing, abstain from coffee, tea, alcohol, and cigarettes. And she owns a tequila company. She drinks Lisa Teenies and has signature cocktails." I mean, they're morally opposed to that. And Jack is going to be teaching that brand of Mormonism. And what I don't think she's prepared for is who he might be when he comes home. And I think she's in for a very rude awakening. Now, here's what's confusing about this monologue.
Listen, she's basically saying that Jack has a much larger forehead than Lisa ever could have expected. And he's going to come back with a different hairstyle. And it's going to be jarring.
They're going to make him cut his hair in Milan. and he's going to come back as that five-head fish from Below Deck.
Sorry, go on with your theory.
So here's my thing about Heather. She does this like anti-Mormon, like I'm against the church now. I don't stand for the church now. But she's always very high and moralistic against what everybody else is doing based on Mormon laws. And I think it's really hard to wash that stuff off of you. I still get like that with religious stuff sometimes. I catch myself sometimes doing stuff like that. And I think this is a case. It's a case of that where she's like, Lisa's not a good Mormon. What the fuck is her kid? She's going to have her kid going off and teaching everybody the wrong brand of Mormonism. So she's kind of sticking up for Mormonism in that way.
I didn't interpret it that way. I interpreted it as Lisa is like not a good Mormon. She's sort of like a quasi-Mormon, doesn't really seem to do it. But Jack's going to go off and he's going to be super religious and he's going to come back and he may be really religious and he may actually try to like distance himself from her. Like this may drive a wedge between them.
Oh, okay.
That's my interpretation.
That's probably true too. Except that I don't believe he's really going for religion. Obviously, I think he's just going because Fudge College, honestly.
Yeah.
You know? So then we get a triple, my favorite, after she does this monologue, we get a triple of my favorite sound effect on the show. They give us three. Usually we just get one. But this week we got. Do you hear my dog running up and down the stairs? Okay.
No, I don't.
I get it.
He's excited about the triple burr. So Heather says, you know, missions are hard work. You knock on doors. You're a door-to-door salesman. Wow. I thought you just plucked them from the forest. That's mushrooms, not missions. Come on, Whitney. Keep up.
Whitney's like, but like, I don't like want to like speak for the family because like, I'm not their spokesperson. And Whitney tells us, it's a terrible idea for Heather to insert herself into Lisa's son's life choices, especially about religion.
Well, the last thing I want to do is ruffle feathers. You're a bird? No, let me just finish what I'm saying, Whitney. It's pretty orthodox. It's a pretty orthodox thing to do.
But aren't ruffles vegetarian?
No, ruffles, okay, you're thinking about three different things, but are ruffles taste like butter and popcorn also? Okay, we've overloaded you.
I don't know, like, .. And Heather's like, none of that came up. We didn't even talk about it. Like, I don't even care. And Whitney, she's like, you don't even care? Like, you didn't even ask her, like, as a Mormon, you know, being a Mormon, what that's like. You didn't talk to her about it? And she goes, no, I'm just supportive. And Whitney tells us, like, .. Just because you wrote a book doesn't mean you get to tell other people how to do it.
And so Heather's basically like, this just seems like something that Lisa as a mom would not be supportive of. It's a little hard to figure out what Heather's bone is to pick, but she's clearly going to use this as some sort of thing to go at Lisa with.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like she's offended that Jack is going to go on a mission because that's not true Mormonism. And what is Lisa going to pretend to be a real Mormon now? Now, yeah. I agree with her that there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here, especially with Lisa owning a tequila company and all that. But that's what makes this show hilarious and amazing.
Yeah.
So then we go to, now it's night and it's snowfall and someone's walking in a mini skirt. And I just think, my God, guys, take care of your teasy, your butts. Take care of them. It's cold out there. Okay?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
And we're at Meredith's house, and Meredith is on a laptop looking at a website. And so Seth comes in, he's like, hey, Mayor. And she's like, hey. And he's like, well, you were nowhere to be found earlier or something. I don't know. So he basically has a glass of wine, and he's like pouring like a little bit of wine from this glass into a shot glass. That way she can have some too. And she's like, not into it whatsoever. And she's like, well, everything with Seth is fantastic. I mean, he's spending a lot more time with me. He hasn't quite figured out that I don't like to drink wine out of a shot glass. I don't know what wife would like that, but you know, it's what he does and we're learning from each other and we're just going to get there sooner or later.
And he's like, this is a Meredith Marks shot glass. I don't know why you've got a problem with it. And she's like, this is a Meredith Marks shot glass, but I normally wouldn't do this. And so now she's in that confessional look that I really love, because she looks like she's in a Steve Martin movie from the 80s where she's playing like a naked lady in a fur coat. That's what this outfit is. And I'm trying to remember what it is. Yeah. Is it The Invisible Man? It's one of those with Steve Martin.
Like Roxanne or...
It's just like her outfit is like, I'm a naked lady in a fur coat. I just love the outfit. So she's like, South Marks and I have been through so many ups and downs over 30 years. We've been through the ringer. So... We decided to start a podcast about relationships. I'm like, oh, come on, you two. And sure enough, we see a clip of them starting a podcast.
It's called Hanging by a Thread, which is also a description of our little baby boy's mobile we have over his crib. So, we're going to have episodes be 20 to 30 minutes long, perfect for a nap time, and we don't want them to be too long, because we could end up in a massive fight.
And then we see a clip of this podcast in action, and she's like, speaking of hanging on by a thread, Seth, you've got something in your nose. Get it off of there. And he's like, what? Who cares? It's a podcast. Who cares if it's in my nose? I can see it, Seth. I don't care if no one else can see it. It's hanging out of your nose by a thread. Yeah, but nobody knows me. I know. Pick it then. Pick it for me, baby. I don't want to pick it. And then we get a not pulling boogers out of your husband's nose.
Yeah, it's great content. Everyone should, by the way, listen to our Below Deck episode that we just did, wherein Ronnie reminds me that my eyebrows are really big and I have to mat them down. So
hanging on by a thread.
Content is content.
Oh God.
I'm like, welcome to the club.
I wish we had one of the wagons from Heather and Whitney's relatives from the past so you could put that pain in it and just travel a desert with it for the next decade.
So Seth is like, so Mare, what are you looking at on that website? Are you building a dollhouse? Do you remember Trixie? You met her at GLAAD. Stands for Gay and Lesbian Ad. She's like a major, major drag queen. And Trixie invited me to the Trixie Motel in Palm Springs.
You think that's a real thing? It's like, that's the same thing I'm saying about the motel hanging out of your nose right now. Yes, it very much is. And she's like, yeah, I thought, the whole Heather's thing was fresh start. Since I could invite the girls for a fresh start baby voice. And for Heather and Mary, Lisa and Whitney. Meredith and bathtubs. I didn't say bathtub just because I had a moment. I had a free moment, so I had to put a bathtub in there.
So you're going to invite Lisa? Well, remember I asked her to talk? Well, we just needed to really sit down one-on-one and move forward. So I'm having Lisa come, and I think I want to invite this new woman. Her name is Harmonica or something like that. And she was at Heather's event, and I saw her throw a snowball, and the producer said, you better invite her. And I'm like, okay, she seems cool. She seems like she might enjoy a white bean salad, so why not?
I mean, this girl just has such a vibe. And we can all go low-key. We can reconnect. Hopefully, I don't have to lock everyone in their room for bad behavior. So then we go over to Angie's and meet Celia, her terrible dog. And I love that Angie is named her dog one letter off from celiac.
Leave the last C off for savings.
Just that's so Angie, you know.
It's a French. Is that a French? Not a French poodle. Is that a French? It's a big white poodle.
It's a big white poodle with the pink ears, and the pink ankles, and stuff. And then Angie's like, "Oh my God, everything in my house is pink. That's my thing. I love pink, so I wear it. My daughter wears it. Oh my God, put on your Versace. Put on your Versace, Electra. We're on TV."
It is all very color coordinated because the house is like stark white except for pink accents. And like there's not a single thing out of place because they clearly were like, oh my God, we are filming for Bravo television. So everything is pristine except there's like one like children's drawing on the fridge that was like so deliberately placed for the camera. It was like, this is to show that we are a happy family. I have put up one thing that shows personality in this house on the refrigerator.
Yeah. And Electra's like, I'm hungry. Can I eat yogurt?
She's like, what is our Greek word of the day? What is our Greek word of the day, Electra? How do we say yogurt? Say it. Say it. She goes, yogurt. You are getting so good at Greek. Now roll your R's. Roll your R's. Roll your R's. She's like, you are so great, Electra.
You are a good Greek. So, and she says, so I started assisting in a hair salon when I was 19 years old, and I see this hot guy with huge muscles, blow-drying hair, and I thought, I got to get to know this guy. Good-looking, muscles, and he can do my hair? It was love at first sight. 30 years later, here we are.
It was 13, but I also wrote 30, and then I had to do the math in my head, and it literally hurt. My head.
13 makes so much more sense because the photo that they showed was from 2010, and I was so confused about the math on this one.
No,
but then she said she was 19, though.
I do. Wait, hold on. So that means she would be
33. She is not 33.
There's no way.
She is 30 years old. She went through a time warp.
Again, which is also a movie. Rocky Horror Greek Picture Show. It was basically everybody standing up in a theater singing the words to Zorba the Greek.
I got into a hot baklava time machine.
Hot tabbouleh time machine.
Time flies when you're having moussaka. Moussaka.
Diaries of a Moussaka Woman.
Oh, I just pulled a muscle in my side. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so we see a clip of them in their salon, and he's sweeping up hair. And she's like, I don't want the boss to fire me. How am I doing, hun? And she tells us, we own 10 salons, a cosmetology school, and we've got our beautiful little daughter, who is now 12 years old. And she's like, I'm going to put a lot of garlic in this. Is that okay with you, Sean? And he's like, not too much, honey. And she pours a whole jar of pre-chopped pickle. What do you call that kind of garlic?
I think it's like the minced garlic.
We all use it. I'm not judging. It's just that's way too much. And I'm not lying that anyone ate that. That's crazy. Come on.
If I had to rate my order, my life, in order of importance, number one, of course, would be this garlic. Number two, of course, would be my daughter, Electra. And then number three is our businesses. And number four, well, my poor husband, Sean. I mean, it's funny because in the back of my mind, I'm like, he can wait. He's not going anywhere. I mean, I'm just on The Real Housewives. That's pretty good for marriages. So let's hope he's smart enough to know that if he sticks around long enough, he'll be back in the front seat soon. Like, well, what does that mean? What, Electra gets demoted? What? Huh?
What your the
business,
hell?
Your businesses are closing?
Yeah, I don't know what it means. I'm burning down everything. Like, I don't know what it means. I don't know if he used to be an Uber driver, and that's why he gets to be in the front seat again soon. I don't understand what she's talking about. And also, why is every line so memorized? She's so bad at this. And this is the...
I love her. She's a disaster.
This is the longest. This is the lowest rung of Housewives in general. Like, it's just the newer one, and it's the lowest budget one, and it's the most community theater one. We've always said it. It's also one of the best ones currently. But even in a long line of community theater Housewives, this is pretty bad. I mean,
let's hope that he's smart enough that if he sits in the front seat, he'll be back in the front seat again soon.
Did Whitney help you run lines? Who was running lines with you?
He better wear his seatbelt, but luckily there's a passenger side airbag. Don't touch the radio.
choking hazard. So Electra's like, I'm full, bye. And Sean's like, okay, now you should eat, honey. And so she brings over a cup of coffee. And she's like, what are you saying? Like, come to daddy? Hilarious.
He's like, so Lisa Barlow calls, but she doesn't take the call because she wants to have time with her husband. And so Sean is like, you know, it's been kind of like, you know, weird, like not hearing you talk to Lisa 24/7. He has like a super Midwestern accent. And she's like, well, she doesn't have too much time with Jack anymore because he's going on a missionary position retreat, something like that.
Trying to give her space right now. And Sean's like, and what about Heather? She's like, things have been odd with us, and I feel bad about us. And then we see a clip of Heather saying, I'm not the one who poured champagne on your head. So if you're mad at someone pouring champagne on your head, why aren't you yelling at the person who poured champagne on your head instead of yelling at me? Oh, but it was funny to you, was it? It was so funny and hilarious to you when someone poured champagne on my head. I am Greek.
If you had liked me, you would not have found that to be funny. So she says, I'd like to move forward and not have that awkward energy between us. You know, I've known Heather since high school, and she was 15 and when she moved here, and I was one of the first people that she met. Well, she met my perm first, and then she met me, and she was a good student, and I wasn't, and I was more wild, you know. What's so funny, though, is that we were both funny, although I guess only one of us won most funny person ever. So, anyway, let's just think about that moment again. It was a great moment in my life.
The only difference is one has an award and one doesn't. One has a husband and one doesn't. One has a daughter named Electra, one doesn't. One cooks with garlic, one just smells like garlic all the time for no reason and not in a good way, and that's coming from a Greek.
That's how we really connected, by her being funny but not quite as funny as me. And we've gotten really, really far away from that. And I just would love to get back to a place with Heather and have her realize I'm still that same person.
He goes, we should just press the restart button, right? And she's like, please do. Electra, you are doing so good. Would you like to say yogurt in Greek?
I think that sounded right.
Did you hear that? My Alexa's going off. I didn't say Alexa. I said Electra. Why is she going off?
It's an electric Sarah. Alexa.
And that is the end of the first part of the Salt Lake City recap. Come back later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Roo Roo LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.